Alexandria High School, Alexandria, Minnesota, March 4th, 1949. The Honorable Governor Lutheran Youngdahl. My dear sir, the high school boys of Alexandria, like many other boys throughout Minnesota, are disgusted with the problem.
You are listening to a high school senior reading his letter in Alexandria, Minnesota, where the people act.
The People Act. These are true stories, tape recorded in communities across the nation where people are working together to build a better future. The People Act is presented by the TV Radio Workshop established by the Ford Foundation and produced by the CBS Radio Network. Every voice and sound is real. No actors are used. Now, here again is your narrator, the noted reporter, Robert Trout.
This is the story of a letter that shook a small town to its roots. The town is Alexandria, Minnesota. Population, 6,500. 120 miles northwest of St. Paul on the shores of Lake Agnes. They call Alexandria a ribbon town because its main street is State Highway 176. A summer resort town surrounded by lakes and farms. Two banks, two theaters, eight hotels, 13 churches, a 16,000 volume library, and six cops, including the chief. Clifford Hove is mayor.
We think we've got a nice town here. That's the city hall up there to our left. And the post office is over on this side, right kitty corner across from the city hall. And down on this side, we have Osterbergs. And everybody in the western part of the country has heard of Osterbergs. Richard Osterberg is a famous character around our town and most other towns around the Northwest.
All the kids go to Osterberg's for a malted or a chocolate phosphate. It's an old-fashioned ice cream parlor with wooden booths and a big jukebox up front. Mr. Osterberg is a round, sandy-haired man who wears rimless glasses and a brown pharmacist's coat.
I've been here 30 years, in the restaurant business for 50 years. The best city in the United States. Business is good, nice lakes, 210 lakes in our county. Fish in every lake. Why shouldn't we live here? Young people come in here, I think, more than any other place in town.
A nice, quiet, comfortable town, Alexandria. And the adults liked it that way. But it made some of the kids a little restless.
At night, there's just nothing to do. You can't get started until about 9 o'clock. You get out of a theater, and there's no place to go except home or to your studies. About the only place to go in the evening we have at night is, for instance, the Elk News. We go down there and sit, and we just over a Coca-Cola or something and just talk and talk, and I'll go out in the street and just drum up something to do, and then we get into trouble. And probably go down to Joe's down here to shoot a game of pool or something, and we aren't of age. They throw us out of there, and you go back out in the streets and start breaking windows again.
Of course, a few kids got into trouble now and then, just like boys and girls anywhere. And the parents decided the way to stop it was to get the kids off the streets at night. So they began to talk about enforcing a law they'd passed back in 1942 and almost forgotten about. A 10 o'clock curfew for everyone under 18. The curfew became the subject of heated conversations at home, down at Osterberg's, at school between classes.
Hey, Lee, did you hear about the curfew they're putting on?
Yeah, I guess I have to go out tonight and do all I can because tomorrow night there won't be much to do if you got to get home so early.
What are we going to do about play practice? It lasts till 10:45 just about every night.
Oh, the cops will get up there and chase you out, I suppose. Dances have to be broken, everything now.
Do you think they can really enforce it?
Sure they can. They enforce everything else around here, dead place.
You mean after play practice is over, we'll have to go down to the clink for a while?
That's about what'll happen. It'll stay in force for a while, but then the guys with cars will start going out of town and they'll be making their fun in the other towns.
Well, what are we going to do about it? We can't just sit and twiddle our thumbs.
Talk to our parents, but that don't do much good. They're pretty bullheaded.
We could try a petition around, all the students sign and take it over to the police force and see what would happen.
I think that's a good idea. We've got to do something.
I can see the papers tomorrow. They'll probably have a stack of kids standing out in front of the police force and telling them that they just hoarded in the bunch of delinquents that were caught out after 10 o'clock.
I think we should do something about it.
Well, let's talk to the other kids about it and see what they think.
Every kid in town under 18 had an idea what they ought to do about it.
What do you think we can do now?
Well, I think our social class now, we're writing letters to government officials, and I think if I drop a line to Governor Youngdahl, it might help. You never know.
You write to him. You write to President Truman. See what you get.
The kids laughed at Maynard Peterson's idea. He even laughed at it himself, but he sat down and wrote the letter anyway.
Alexandria High School, Alexandria, Minnesota, March 4th, 1949. The Honorable Governor Lutheran Youngdahl. State Capitol Building, St. Paul, Minnesota. My dear sir, the high school boys of Alexandria, like many other boys throughout Minnesota, are disgusted with the problem of our city's recreation. It's a rumor that an 18-year-old curfew is soon going into effect, by which the 18 years and under must be in the hands of their parents by 10 o'clock sharp. The way it is now, the public don't want them on the streets at night, and the businessmen of this area don't want them loitering in their business places. If they aren't allowed in those places, I believe that they will take to the alleys, which is bad for any country, as well as the city. If there is anything we could do to better our problems, we should like a reply from you. Sincerely yours, Maynard Peterson.
Maynard Peterson didn't expect anything to happen, but the governor read the letter, turned it over to George Reed at the State Youth Conservation Commission, and the next thing Maynard knew, somehow a copy of his letter appeared in the local newspaper, the Park Region Echo. And when that happened, it was as if someone had exploded a bomb on Main Street. Mayor Hove got on the phone.
John, did you see that letter in the paper this morning? From young Peterson? What'd you think of it?
There was no other subject of conversation on the streets that day.
Cliff, did you see this write-up in the paper about this Maynard Peterson?
I certainly did, Doc, and I'm very much surprised to see an appeal made to the governor. After all, it seems to me that something like this should have been presented to a group of citizens or city fathers first.
Seems to me that the kids nowadays just think that they got to have everything put down on black and white for them. They can't make their own fun like we did in years gone by.
After they got over their shock, a lot of the adults were just plain angry. They jumped on Maynard Peterson.
Immediately, the people around Alexandria here that I met in the street and through the high school kind of looked at me every time I turned around. And I think that they were wondering just what kind of a guy I am. Some of them approached me in the restaurants and wherever I have business downtown. And they'd come in and ask me just what the deal was. They criticized the letter, and for instance, I was sitting in a cafe and one of the local businessmen approached me about it and criticized, like he said, look, we have just built a nice ballpark down here, and a number of years ago we built a tennis court down here, and it's the kids aren't backing it up.
Everyone had an opinion. The town was in an uproar. And the climax came when George Reed of the State Youth Conservation Commission came up from St. Paul.
Maynard Peterson's letter to Governor Youngdahl was referred to me by the governor's office to have the Youth Conservation Commission of Minnesota go out to Alexandria and talk with the people there and find out what the problem that Maynard was referring to was all about. When we arrived at Alexandria, we were very surprised on the next morning to find that some 40 people had turned out to discuss with us the problems of children and youth in that community.
That afternoon, there was a meeting in the basement of the library. Parents and youngsters jammed the room. By the time County Attorney John McCartan wrapped his gavel for order, there wasn't an empty seat.
Well, I've been asked to act as the temporary chairman of this meeting this afternoon. No doubt all of you are aware of the fact that Maynard Peterson has written a letter that has caused quite a bit of commotion in the community. And we've called this meeting together in an effort to give representatives from all of the organizations and agencies in the community, as well as the young people, to express themselves on the question of whether or not there is an actual need for youth activities in the community or whether the community is taken care of in that respect.
I read the letter, and I don't believe that the children do have a legitimate gripe because after 10 o'clock, the children should be home with their parents or with their parents.
Well, I disagree with you there, and I believe that the parents certainly should be with the children. But what are the children supposed to do when the parents themselves aren't home and they have so many activities that take them away from the children?
Oh, why can't we do any bowling? Some of us kids had bowling in gym classes, and we really liked it. But now we can't go into the bowling alleys at all.
We need something more exciting to do, something we can do with everybody, to have a lot of fun, not just sit around and worry about what are we going to do tonight. What's there to do? It's the same old thing. Go to the show and go to Osprey's and go home. If you're sure you'd make it by 10 o'clock, otherwise they'll probably send you home.
May I interrupt there, please? I don't see why the young people should be gallivanting around the street every night of the week anyway. It seems to me that there should be three or four nights a week that they could stay at home after supper, sit down and read or take care of their music, or hobbies such as whittling and artwork and things like that. I don't see why we should have such a problem about being out so much at night.
That's a point there. We planned a family picnic the other day, last Sunday, and we said, all right, kids, let's all jump in the car, and we thought they'd just be delighted. And they said, nothing doing. All the rest of our friends are going to the show. We don't want to go with the family on a picnic. So we've got to... The youngsters seem to want to stick together in whatever they're doing. I think it's important to get their viewpoint. What would you really like? What would be ideal?
Well, to provide activities that include youth of the whole community so that you're with all your friends and so that you can have different activities, not the same kind all the time, like going to the show and afterwards going down to Osterberg's, and that's about amounts to what it is. And there's nothing else to do. Plan something that's more varied where everybody can take part. Well, if we have to be in by 10 o'clock, why don't you give us a place to go where we can have some fun?
We'd be willing to get in by 10 o'clock if we'd had fun before then. But when it just lags on all night, well...
When it takes us all night to find a place to have fun, it just seems like 10 o'clock comes around sooner than ever.
Well, could we say then that your problem is not only the curfew, but a lack of organized recreation in the entire community?
Not all the adults agreed with the kids, but most of them saw that something was wrong. And before the meeting was over, they'd taken some practical steps to make changes. The first was to form a community council with members from more than 40 fraternal, civic, and welfare organizations. Mrs. Harold Stemsrud, the wife of a local doctor, was at their first meeting.
At that meeting, we decided the most important thing to be done immediately was the formation of the youth council. Three of us met with representatives of the classes, and then they elected their officers and planned their first youth council meeting and set up a committee to organize or to plan their constitution.
Once they were organized, the kids met and got down to their main business.
Well, last night, a few of us kids met with the parents, and we told them a few of our gripes about the city and why we didn't want this curfew law and what we did need. And now we'd like you to tell us just more reasons.
Parents believe we should stay home, but we got to let off some steam somehow. I mean, we just can't sit home. Maybe in their old age, they can sit home and talk over old times. But I know when they were young, they let off a little steam, too. And there's just nothing to let off steam on in this town.
And so I think we had a place where we all get together and in larger groups instead of these smaller groups. I think that's what's drawing us all apart and doing different things. If we had one big center where we could all meet and do the same things, there'd be more cooperation among the groups and finding that everyone would be working together, including the parents with the children.
If they'd give us some place to have some recreation, we'd show them that we could take care of it ourselves, but without nothing right now, how can we show them? Maybe they think we act like children. Well, maybe we do because we have nothing to do to show them that we can act like adults. If they'd give us something sound and substantial to work on, we could show them.
There were more meetings. Then the kids went to the community council to talk over their problems with the adults.
I'm sure it was the first time that the youngsters realized that adults were interested in their problems, and they didn't know quite how to react to us because they were so surprised that we were interested in them. And we tried to make them realize the number of adults and the force of the adults that were behind them.
The kids found that the adults were more than just interested. They were ready to offer practical help.
Mrs. Stemsrud, what is your reaction to the things that have been pointed out to us here today?
Well, I think it's worth investigating. I would suggest, or I'll make a motion, that we have a committee of 10 people representing all the governing bodies in town and the young people and the school and the churches and so on to take a survey of our recreation facilities for the young people and come to some conclusion very soon.
You've heard the motion. Is there a second? The motion has been made and seconded. Those in favor signify by the usual sign.
Aye.
Contrary? The motion is carried.
10 people were picked to make the survey, sent out to ring doorbells, ask questions.
I'm a member from the Youth Council, and I was wondering if you had a place where we could hold dances and have recreation.
Who wants to hold those dances?
The Youth Council is sponsoring it, and we'd like a place where the youth of Alexandria could hold a few of their meetings and their dances and have recreation.
I'm a member of the Alexandria Youth Council, and I've been assigned to contact you in connection.
They came back and reported to the community council.
Veterans of foreign wars have a bar in a kitchen with a piano, but there are no facilities for the youth.
Well, Alexandria Masons have 300 members. Well, they've got a large hall, but they don't allow the youth in the city to use it.
Business and Professional Women's Club, 53 members, no youth program.
Fort Knightley Club has 19 members, but it has no youth program. The Woman's Club has 28 members, gives prizes for school essays on conservation.
The Sportsman's Club has 150 to 200 members, but has no youth program.
United Commercial Travelers, over 200 members, meet in Masonic Hall, no youth program.
Once they got started, they weren't satisfied just to check on facilities. They began to ask more basic questions, to make new reports.
I'd like to report on the survey. In response to the question, are you allowed to use the family car, 33 said yes, and 39 answered no. 32 of the youth have driver's licenses, while 42 do not. What time do you go to bed school nights? 48 answered 9:30 to 10:30. 20 answered 10:30 to 11:30. 2 answered 11:30.
The questionnaires were answered by 759 students. In our local high school, junior and senior high. They represent 52% rural and 48% town children. Here is one reason we found why maybe some of the children want a place to go to. We found out that 1/4 of the mothers of our town children work outside the home. Here's another interesting thing we found out. There is a wide variety of bedtime hours and number of nights out for all grades. It ranges from very strict to no rules at all in the home. Another item, girls in 10th, 11th, and 12th grades are allowed to stay out about an hour later than boys in the same grade. 1/3 of all the pupils belong to no group at all.
After the reports had been made, two things were clear. The first was that there weren't enough facilities. The second was that facilities alone weren't enough. The kids needed direction, needed to be helped to learn to take advantage of the facilities they had, needed to be made to feel part of the community. Progress was slow. But the adults began to see the light, and there were signs of change.
Elks has a room that they're willing to let the youngsters have, whenever it's not being used for Elks meetings.
At the Rotary Club, they're a little hepped up on this whole idea, and they're going to expand their Explorer troop to take in a larger number of boys for their Boy Scout program. And then also they're going to develop one of the beaches about 3 miles from Alexandria so that many of the children can go and swim there. They're going to erect 2 bathing houses this summer, and the men are going to erect these themselves.
Some of the groups would like to furnish for us, big brothers or big sisters or proxy parents, whatever they might be called.
And more and more facilities were made available, more and more kids brought into the program. But the big event was the selection of a place for a youth center. The youngsters really got excited. They took over. They insisted on painting and decorating the building themselves.
All these Venetian blinds have to get fixed off there. Take them off and get new ones on. They're all hanging. Get the dust out of the windows.
Hey, bring a screwdriver over.
Let's bring over the screwdriver here so we can...
That's how they began. The kids got the center going. The adults helped by hiring a recreation director, setting up a recreation department in the town, getting an $8,000 a year budget, working out a long-range program for the kind of recreation the kids wanted. They began a dozen new activities. They formed a model plane club.
you hope. Well, I remember when I was flying in the First World War there.
Bowling leagues, basketball and baseball leagues, an art workshop, built a skating rink and had skating parties. Held a sleigh ride and a wiener roast, started a horseshoe club and a garden club, opened dancing classes. They sponsored parties, reorganized the school band. Jim Campbell, the recreation director, summed up what they are trying to do.
It's an attempt to meet the demands of the people, not to give them something and say, here it is. We want to give you what you want. We hope to expand it and in time add further personnel so that more activities can be provided for the people of Alexandria.
It took 3 years. It took hard work, and sometimes it went slowly. But nobody talked about a curfew anymore, and nobody talked about breaking windows. Maynard Peterson, out of high school, a PFC in the Army now, came home on furlough, looked around, and wrote another letter.
Dear Judge Youngdahl, you remember when you were a governor, I wrote you about some of the problems of the kids in Alexandria. I'm in the Army now, home on furlough, and I thought I'd let you know what's happening in the Alexandria over the past 3 years. Well, first of all, we've gotten some of the action for the kids. We've gotten...
Elapsed time between letters, 3 years. Distance, from a broken window to a brand new youth center and a full recreation program. In 3 years, the people of Alexandria, Minnesota, have come to grips with a problem they hadn't even known existed and have started to solve it.
Sincerely yours, Maynard Peterson.
You have just heard The People Act, narrated by Robert Trump, a documentary series presented by the TV Radio Workshop established by the Ford Foundation and produced by the CBS Radio Network. These programs are under the sponsorship of the National Committee for The People Act. Here is the committee's director, Elmore McKee.
It took the young people of Alexandria to arouse their parents to the recreational needs of their community. We would welcome your reactions to this story. And if you would like to do something about a comparable problem in your community, won't you write us at the People Act Center, State College, Pennsylvania? Dr. Milton S. Eisenhower and his associates there will try to put you in touch with someone in your vicinity qualified to consult with you. And if you wish a script or a record of today's program, please write us at the People Act Center, State College, Pennsylvania.
The People Act is produced by Irving Gitlin, edited by Fred Free. Tape recordings for this program were made in Alexandria, Minnesota by field reporters Ob Weston and Charles Romine. Original music by Norman Lockwood, conducted by Alfredo Antonini. Join us again next week when the People Act in Jerome County, Idaho.